I've always wondered, why on earth did you do such a bean brain thing like that? I mean, running straight at a man who's armed with a loaded shotgun, what on earth made you do it?
Do you know, I've often asked myself that, and I haven't the faintest idea.
I mean, do you make a habit of that sort of thing? Sudden reckless gestures? I mean, do you mountaineer, jump out of aeroplanes, things like that?
No, certainly not.
Extraordinary. I don't know about making you a hero. You were lucky not to have been locked up as a lunatic.
Well, funnily enough, that's exactly what the police said to me at the time. They called it a very foolhardy, reckless gesture.
Well, they still made a hero out of you.
I don't think the police did that. That was the press. They said I'd captured the general public's imagination.
Oh, there's no problem. That's about as easy to capture as a dead chicken in a meat safe. Gallant bank clerk risks life to save fiancée.
So the story went. Actually, Neris wasn't even my fiancée, not at the time.
Oh, no, I always understood she was.
No, she was actually engaged to someone else when it happened, but after the accident, our fiancée broke it off.
Oh.
And this reporter said it would be an altogether better story if he could say that Neris and I were engaged. And I said it would probably be all right. And he said, well, when she regained consciousness, if subsequently we both went off the idea and decided to split up again, then that would make another good story.
Oh, I see. Well, I think I'll go and have a dip. Expose the alabaster limbs. Just go and rout out some trunks. You're not swimming?
No, if it's all the same.
Oh, it's all the same to me, Joe.
Oh, it's great. Come on in, you want to try it?
You stay that end, stay at that end, do you hear?
Keep an eye on them, won't you, Vic?
Yeah, oh, right.
Sure you don't want to swim?
No,
It's lovely and warm.
No, I always look a little foolish in the water.
Oh, I'm sure you look fine. You should see me these days. I'm no bathing beauty.
Oh, come now.
Come on.
Oh, he's a good swimmer, Vic.
Yes, he's very good. Mind you, he can do most things once he sets his mind to them. I've always said if Vic can't do something, then it's probably only because he doesn't want to do it in the first place. Sharon, why on earth are you dressed up like that? It's sweltering.
Mr. Parks said I had to.
Really? Oh, well, if Mr. Parks told you to...
Excuse me, please.
Oh, it's going to be a scorcher, isn't it? Real scorcher.
Would you like to take your jacket off? And your, pullover. You must be very hot.
Well, I think with your permission, the jacket, thank you.
Oh, come on in.
I'm sorry, I really am.
Sorry?
I mean, it must be obvious that I didn't want you to come here. I didn't want to meet you and I didn't want Vic to meet you again. I still don't know why he agreed to it. I suppose Jill must have... If you brought your wife with you, I don't know what I'd have done. Probably run away, I think.
There would have been no need for that, I'm sure.
I think you're amazing. I really do. When you think of what happened to her and to you, and then you willingly come here and see us with all this, it's amazing. Of course, being only human, it keeps occurring to me that maybe you want something from us, and maybe you haven't yet said what it is.
Is that how I appear to be?
No, you don't. Not at all. But one can't help wondering, nonetheless, being only human. I don't know if there is anything we can do, I can do. Anything we can give you or offer you. But if there is, I mean it. Anything. Take it. Please. Take it.
No, really. There's nothing you have that I could possibly take. Thank you, all the same.
Well, excuse me.
Come on in, darling. Show me how you can swim. That's it. Very good.
Glorious.
And cut. Thank you. Thank you, Douglas.
Oh, was that all right?
Perfect. Thank you. Keep that set up. We've just got time to do their first meeting before lunch. Douglas, I want to do yours and Vic's first meeting, OK?
All right, yes.
Jill, what's going on?
I just want to do the first meeting with Mr. Beachy, Vic, if you don't mind. The one we didn't get earlier.
Well, it's nearly lunchtime, isn't it?
No, we've got 12 and a half minutes. I literally just want to do the two of you meeting, OK? And very simple, all in long, no sound. Douglas, my love?
Hello.
OK, listen. I simply want you to come in through that gate, like this. OK?
I came in the other way originally when I arrived. Does that matter?
Not in the least.
This is television. It's all fiction, son. All fiction.
Not all of it, but in this case it doesn't matter. Now, I want you to walk to the middle of the patio like this and stop, look around you. Never seen anywhere like it in your life. Gasp, gasp. And then we'll see Vic coming out from the house to greet you, OK?
Yes, yes.
You want me from the house?
Please.
What, as soon as he stops?
Yes, I can talk you through it. It'll be with voiceover this eventually.
Right.
I just want you both to meet, apparently start talking for a second or two, and then I'll come out and join you. And we'll sit here. Are you getting all this, Dan? Will you tell George we'll do it once so he can look at it, OK? OK. And action. Thank you, Douglas. Douglas, come on, please.
All right.
Yes, come on. Keep walking in. Come on in further, Douglas. And try not to look at the camera if you can help it.
Sorry.
Relax. Try and relax, Douglas. Act normally.
Yes, I'm trying to act normally.
Now look around you. Take it all in.
Yeah, I'm taking it in, yes.
Well, look a bit amazed. Look a little awed by it all. More. Isn't it an amazing place, Douglas? You've never seen anything like it in your life. Talk if you want to. You can talk if you feel like it.
Sorry, there doesn't seem to be anyone around here to talk to.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you. And cue Vic.
Ah, hello.
Oh, hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
That's about all I have to say to you.
Keep talking, please. Just a bit more.
Well, you must be the man come to deliver the coal.
Pardon? Oh, yes, right. I've got it in the van out there.
Oh, good. You sold your hand cart, I take it?
Yes. Oh, yes, I sold my handcart. I got 50 pesetas for it.
Yes, OK, something like that. And then I'll say, hello, sorry to interrupt you. This must be quite a strange feeling for you both meeting after, what is it, 17 years?
Yes, 17.
Is it 17? Goodness gracious me.
And then I'll say something else, and then I'll suggest we all sit down, shall we?
Yes, that sounds like a good plan.
What a charming idea.
And then as soon as we're settled here, I'll cut. And we'll pick it up after lunch for close-ups in these same positions, OK?
Yeah, that sounds like a very good plan.
All right, Dan? That work all right for George? What? Yes, I know, I told him. They're saying, can you try not to notice the camera, Douglas?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, try and defocus your eyes, that's the tip. Otherwise, it's very difficult not to look at it. The camera's like a magnet, you know what I mean?
Thank you.
Yeah, defocus. See, that's what I do. That's the way to do it.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. I'll try that.
OK, here we go for real this time. Places again, please. We're very short of time. Douglas?
Yes, Jill?
Just when you meet Vic this time, I don't think you want to be, what can I say, quite so overjoyed to see him.
Oh, no. That was...
I mean, here's a man you haven't seen for 17 years. And the last time you saw him, he was firing a shotgun into the face of the woman you loved. So...
I see, yes.
I mean, it just looks a bit odd if you greet him like a long-lost brother. Okay? And we've got 5 minutes. Can you try and give me all that?
Yeah, I'll try.
Bless you. Thank you, Douglas. Thank you very, very deeply. All right, everyone? Okay, stand by. One take, that's all we've got. Okay? And action! Thank you, Douglas. What the hell's he doing? He looks like Mr. Magoo. That's lovely, Douglas. Keep going. Try and look up a little. Look around the place as you come in. Oh, God. Who's that? All right. Keep rolling. Keep going, Douglas. Back. Piss off. Look, Dan, can you hear me? Don't let that man wander into shot. Someone get that sodding gardener out of shot. Super, Douglas. Perfect. Now stop there and look around you. Just don't look at the gardener. He's not really there.
Will someone get rid of that bloody gardener? Come on, Douglas. Real amazement now. Get that half-wit out of shot. All the amazement you can muster now, Douglas.
What's happened?
It's all right, ignore that. The bloody gardener's just fallen in the pool, that's all. Carry on, we're desperately short of time. Cue Vic. Thank you, Vic.
Oh, hello.
Remember, suspicious of him, Douglas, suspicious.
Hello, who are you?
Douglas, keep looking at Vic. Remember who he is.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Did you have a good flight?
Well, what do you mean by that exactly? Is he all right, your gardener?
No, I think he's drowning.
Keep chatting. I need more chat. Don't worry about the gardener. He's not in shot. Keep chatting together. Vic, point out the garden to Douglas.
Well, now, this is the patio.
Oh, yes.
You may have noticed it as you walked over it. And that's our swimming pool over there.
Oh, yes.
Super. That's super chat.
And that's our gardener over there coming up for the third time.
Keep talking, Douglas. Come on, time is against us.
Can he swim, do you think?
I shouldn't imagine so, not in those boots.
Good Lord.
Please, Mr. Vic.
Hello there, gentlemen. Sorry to interrupt. Vic, Douglas, this must be quite a strange meeting for you both, meeting after, what is it, 17 years?
Certainly is.
I think we ought to do something. very nice. Thank you.
Don't smile. Well, perhaps we should all sit down, should we?
Why not?
This chair, Douglas. This one, please.
Oh, sorry.
And chat, 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 chat.
Chat, chat, chat.
And that's it. Super. Thank you both. Dan, can you ask George if he managed to keep off that idiot? Did he manage to keep the gardener out of shot?
Come on, out you come. Come on, you'll be all right. Come on, old lad. That's it. Now, you get off home and have your dinner. You'll feel better then. You mustn't interrupt the filming, you know.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Vic. Thank you. Sorry.
All right, there you go.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Vic. Okay, don't worry about it, old son.
What? He did? Oh, terrific. That's fine. George apparently managed to pan off the gardener and still keep the full patio in frame, so we're okay. That's great. Lunchtime, is it?
1 minute past one.
Pretty good going.
Want a drink first? Ah, come on, just a little one.
Well, a little one, perhaps.
Doug? You coming in for lunch?
Thank you, yes.
God, you know, I had this dreadful fear that man was going to be in the shot through the entire sequence. I mean, the thought of having to set the whole thing up again after lunch.
Too right. Just a minute. What? What's that?
What are they saying?
Apparently you didn't say cut. They just wanted to know if you'd finished the shot.
Well, obviously I've finished, idiots. Of course I've finished! Cut! Stand by. And action. It became increasingly clear that the quiet, law-abiding, undemanding Douglas Beachy we had met and spoken to in Purley a few days before was a very different creature from the man who had arrived here at the park's luxury Mediterranean villa earlier that day. His manner grew ever more watchful, increasingly thoughtful. Were these merely the signs of a man finally coming to terms with his lot? A man at last accepting that most unacceptable of truths, that life is unjust? Or was there a darker, more dangerous emotion starting to emerge from this hitherto undemonstrative man? Was this an anger, an envy, even a dim, forgotten desire for revenge? Cut! That okay? Yes, thank you very much. I meant technically okay, Dan. I can do without the editorial, thank you. Can we set up in the study now, please? We'll just do Vic's interview, and then that's it for today, all right?
Go through the front. Through the front door. It'll be easier. I'll see you there.
You better get a move on. The rate Vic's pouring it down himself. He won't be able to string two words together.
Oh, God, I asked him to go easy.
Oh, yes. Well, I'll tell him you're nearly ready. In the study, yes?
I'll be right there. If I can get Vic done now, then tomorrow morning I can spend with Mr. Beachy. That leaves me the rest of the day clear till our flight to do general shots of the island. Should be all right. Always providing I can get Mr. Beachy to say anything remotely interesting.
Well, he tries his best, I think.
It was a complete waste of time just now with the three of us. It was all Vic talking. I tell you, Kenny, somehow or other, if I'm going to make any sort of programme, I have got to find a way to prize that man open. Get to the heart of him. I know, you see. I know that under all that suburban blandness, that dreary flock wallpaper personality of his, there is a real person there. There is pain. There is disappointment. There is burning resentment. Hopefully even hatred. Who knows?
Really? Are you sure?
Well, there has to be, or the man wouldn't be human. Oh, Mr. Beachy. I was just saying I wanted to save you till tomorrow morning, all right, when you're fresh?
Just to suit you, Jill, I'll fit in with you. I must say, though, after that lunch, not to mention that wine, I think you might be wiser to let me sleep it off. What a host, eh? What a host Vic is. Seems like every day is Christmas Day in this house.
I'll see if Vic's ready.
Thanks.
So we'll all be flying home tomorrow, eh?
That's right.
Maybe we'll be on the same flight.
No, I think we're going a little later than you. We've got the odd bit of filming to do tomorrow afternoon.
Well, we'll go, eh?
Well...
Then what do you do?
Well, then we have a look at what we've got and edit. And then we cut it together using any additional studio sequences we decide to include. Using actors. What we call reconstructed action.
Actors playing us?
Probably.
Fascinating! Make sure you'll get a good-looking one for me, won't you?
And then I link the whole thing together live on the day.
Live? Goodness.
Well, recorded live. In front of a studio audience, anyway.
What about that, then? All that work for just one programme. People just don't realise, do they?
Douglas?
Yes?
May I ask you something? Do you feel I've been asking you the right questions?
How do you mean?
Well, let me try and explain. Usually, someone like me, a professional interviewer, well, we try as best we can to get at what we hope is the truth, the core of the person we're interviewing. We ask them what we hope are the right questions, and then hopefully they respond, which in turn leads us to ask further questions, and slowly we arrive at what we, the interviewer, wants to hear. And more important, hopefully, what you, the interviewee, wants to say. But in our case, yours and mine, it's just not working. I admit it, and it's very unprofessional of me, but I'm actually appealing to you directly for help.
Oh, I see. I thought we'd been getting on rather well.
Some people, you know, no problem. It's all there for the picking. Open cast mining. But I have to say it, in your case, you're a very, very deep shaft indeed, Douglas. Too deep for me.
Well, how extraordinary. I've never thought of myself as that. Well, you may be right. Maybe you just haven't been asking the correct questions.
Take you and Neris, for instance.
Yes?
I mean, you've never really talked about your relationship with her. Are you happy together, for instance?
Yes.
Truly happy?
Yes.
No problems?
No, not really. Can't think of any offhand.
Despite the fact she can't face leaving the house?
Well, that's true, yes. But we both learnt to live with that, you see.
Doesn't it upset her?
No, she doesn't seem to mind. She doesn't want to go anywhere.
Doesn't she get lonely?
No, she's never said so.
But surely, Douglas, coming here, seeing all this, the pool, the villa, the sunshine, wouldn't you like this for Neris, at least, even if not for yourself? Doesn't she deserve it after what she went through? Wouldn't you both adore to have all this in your heart of hearts?
Frankly, no, I'm sorry, we wouldn't. Neither of us swims. Neris is allergic to sunlight, and personally, I can't get on with Spanish food, not at all.
Well, somewhere else. Italy.
No. You know, I have to say this. You're making me feel rather guilty, Jill. I'm sorry if I'm being a disappointment. I'd have thought, though, that with all that misery you seem to meet up with in your job every day, a happy, contented couple might make a nice change for once. Wouldn't you have thought?
Sorry, Douglas, no. They wouldn't. Not at all. Happy, contented couples, happy, contented middle-aged couples especially, do not make exciting films. They do not make watchable plays or readable books. Nobody's interested in them. And they certainly don't want to sit down and watch them on television. Happy, contented people are box office death, Douglas. Because they generally come over as excruciatingly boring. They come over as smug and self-satisfied and superior, and they drive the rest of us up the bloody wall. And we really don't want to know about them. Not at all. All right?
How sad. That's all I can say. How very sad.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
If you and Neris really are that rare and precious thing, a blissfully happy married couple, who am I to come between? No, I'm sorry. I can't believe it. You're both completely happy?
Yes, I think we are. I was trying to think.
Excuse me, but sexually as well?
Sexually?
Sexually, you know, sex. Long winter evenings and so on.
Well, no, we don't. No.
You don't?
No.
You mean you don't sleep together?
Oh, yes, we sleep together. We just don't... No.
Ever?
No. Not for some little while.
What do you mean by some little while?
It's probably about 15 years, probably.
15 years?
Yeah, I should think about that, yes.
My God, how have you both managed?
Oh, I don't think it's ever been a problem. We, you know, we tried it for a couple of years when we first got married and neither of us found much to it, really. It's rather overrated, really. So we gave it up.
Sorry, I have to sit down.
Are you all right?
15 years and you have never had it? Do you realise, Douglas, that there are some of us, many of us, most of us, who spend all our waking hours thinking about having it? And at night, if we're not having it, we dream about having it. We spend most of our lives trying to work out how to find someone to have it with us, and then once we've had it, how we can get rid of the person we're having it with so we can have it with somebody else. And you've never even bothered to have it. I don't believe it. And Neris feels the same. She doesn't miss it either.
She's never said she has.
What about children? Did she never want children?
No. Never. She's,
What?
But she never did. Well, I think maybe as a result of her accident, she felt unable to cope with the responsibility of children.
And you?
Oh, I understood why. I appreciated her decision.
But would you have liked children if she'd been willing?
Possibly.
You'd have liked them in other circumstances?
Yes.
If, for instance, she hadn't been injured, you'd both probably have had them.
Who can say? Possibly.
Yes, right. We might talk further about children tomorrow, Douglas, in our interview. All right?
Yeah. Yes, if you like. Oh, dear.
Vic, she says they're nearly ready.
Well, they know where I am, if they want me, don't they? It's too hot to sit in there. Oh, that's better. Oi, you get sunstroke if you stand around out there too long, mate.
Pardon?
I said be careful in the sun if you're not used to it.
Oh, yes, thank you. I thought you'd be doing your interview.
Well, they're not quite ready for him.
Ah. Do you think ours went all right, our interview?
It was all right.
You were wonderful. It's never stuck for an answer.
Well, he's done it before, once or twice.
Yes, I'm afraid that showed, so far as I was concerned. I'm afraid she floored me once or twice. I was completely speechless. She said she'd be able to cut them out, though, my hesitations.
Drink, anybody?
Oh, no, thank you.
Go steady, Vic. Mm.
Go steady? You sound like my auntie, you grapefruit. No. I'll tell you something, Dougie, about interviews and being interviewed. The first thing you've got to remember is that, generally speaking, if you are the one being interviewed and feeling nervous, then the person interviewing you, 9 times out of 10, he's even more nervous than you are. Because if it all goes wrong, if you cock the whole thing up, you stand... Or you... If you cock the whole thing up, all you stand to do is make a fool of yourself, whereas for him, well, it's his job on the line, isn't it? Know what I mean?
Yes, I see. That hadn't occurred to me, I must say.
Yeah, and the other thing you've got to remember about an interview is that normally whoever's interviewing you will know less about what you're talking about than you do, because 9 times out of 10 he'll be talking to you about you, which makes you the resident expert, doesn't it? You see, there's an art to being interviewed. First, you've got to be able to use an interview to your own advantage. I mean, after all, what is an interview? This guy's more often than not trying to get you to say one thing, usually incriminating. And you, on the other hand, are wanting to say something of your own entirely different to what he wants you to say. So it's a battle to the death, isn't it? If you're being interviewed, you have to turn it around, you see? You say things like, "That's a very good question, John, and I'd like to answer it, if I may, with a question of my own." You see, that always throws them, because they can't bear getting questions back at them, because they're not usually geared for answers, only for questions. Because they're interviewers, see, and not meant to have opinions, so they can't answer anyway. But when they don't, that makes them look furtive. And when he does get a question in, if you don't like the one he's asked you, then give him an answer to another one. And when he interrupts you, which he will do once he realises that you are giving him the wrong answer, you say to him, "I really must be allowed to answer this question in my own way, John, please." And look a bit hurt whilst you're saying it, because that'll make him look a pushy bastard, see? And another tip, if you're giving an answer and you do happen to know the answer and don't mind giving it to him, talk as fast as you can while still making sense, but don't, whatever you do, leave pauses. Because they're looking for pauses, see, to edit you about and change your meaning. Yeah, that's when they put in those nodding bits. You've seen them, when the interviewer bloke's nodding his head for dear life about bugger all and sitting in a different room. Yeah. But if you don't pause, you see, they can't get in to edit, can they? Yeah, and if you're in full flow and you do run out and you have to stop, stop suddenly. Just like that. Okay? Because that throws him as well, because 9 out of 10, if it's a long answer you've been giving him, he won't be listening anyway. He'll either be looking at his notes or at the floor manager or wondering how long's this bleeder going on for. And if none of that works and you're really up against it, have a choking fit, throw yourself on the floor, knock the mic over and call for water. That usually does the trick.
There's a lot more to it than you imagine, isn't there?
True, very true.
Yeah, but I think for the layman such as myself, it's probably better just to answer the
question. Dear, oh dear.
Pardon?
Just look at the arse on that Sharon. Look at it! Acres of it, isn't there? Oh, dear. Sorry, Doug, you were saying... Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I was, No, I was just saying, put like you were putting it, all seems a bit like a game, doesn't it?
What?
Interviews on television.
Well, they are, most of them. That shocked you, did it?
No, only occasionally, you know, people might genuinely be trying to say something, mightn't they, that they felt deeply about. I wouldn't like to think it was all just nothing more than a game.
Well, we all play games, don't we? One way or the other, we all do it.
Do you think so?
Like, right now, I'm wondering what yours might be.
What?
No, seriously, I'm very, very curious. What are you after, sunshine? Smiling away there. What are you on?
Vic.
Well, don't tell me he came out here just to tell me what a nice man I am, what a lovely place I've got. Don't tell me he came all this way for that, because frankly, I don't believe him.
He came to do the programme, Vic.
Don't kid me, the programme. You mean tell me he did all this for a programme? Just so he could see himself on the telly? I don't believe it.
I'm sorry, but I did.
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't believe you.
I did. Well, and to...
What? And to what?
And to see you.
To see me?
Yes.
I should have thought you'd have wanted to see me again, would you?
Well, when Jill first wrote to us, I must say I didn't know. But in the end, after Neris and I had both talked about it, we decided I had to, really.
Why?
You're... This might sound peculiar, but because you're still... there, in our dreams, you see. After 17 years, we both still dream about you. We wake up occasionally in the night. Neris has this terrible fear, it's quite ridiculous, I've told her, that one night you're going to break in downstairs and come up to get her. I've said to her, it's ridiculous. I mean, there you are on the telly twice a week or something, helping the kids or telling the old folk to mind how they go. I said, he's not going to want to break in here, Neris. Not after 17 years, is he? Still, you can't always control your imagination, can you? No matter how hard you try. So, look, don't take this wrong, but I was hoping this meeting might help to... exorcise you, if you follow me. I told you it would sound peculiar.
Well, I've been called a lot of things. Look. Listen, Doug, I promise, you tell Neris, tell her I'll never break in through her front window, all right? You tell her she's perfectly sane. I mean, I've been called a lot of things. That's wonderful,
oh,
Kelly.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? Hey, Sharon.
Yes, Mr. Parks.
Where are Timmy and Cindy?
They're having tea in the kitchen. With Marta, Mr. Parks.
Oh. Oh, sit down, then.
I've got to go and...
Sit down.
Yes, Mr. Parks.
Get your breath back.
Thank you.
Look at her. Puffing like a grampus, aren't you?
Yes, Mr. Parks.
Sweat running off you. No, look at her. Have you ever seen anyone sweating like that? It's dripping off her. I bet it's running off you underneath there, isn't it, eh? Eh? Running down your arms, trickling down your legs... If there's one thing I hate, it's to see a woman sweating like that. It's bad enough on a man, it's obscene on a woman, don't you agree? Yeah. I'll tell you something, Sharon. Do you know why you're sitting there sweating like that? Do you know the reason why you're sat there like a great bowl of pork dripping? Do you want to know the reason? It's because you are overweight, girl. You're fat. Let's face it, Sharon, you are a fat girl, aren't you? A big fat girl.
Oh, look, I don't think that's fair. She's
let her tell you something. Just a second. Sharon.
Yes, Mr. Parks.
Shall we tell them why you're so fat? Eh? Shall we tell them your secret? It's because you are greedy, isn't it, Sharon? You eat too much. You are a guts, aren't you? You are a glutton, eh?
Yes, Mr. Parks.
Yeah. Tell them what you ate on your last birthday, Sharon. You tell them. Yeah, this girl... She told me that last year, on her birthday, she sat down on her own in her flat in wherever it was, Macclesfield.
Huddersfield.
Yeah, or Huddersfield. She sat there all on her own singing Happy Birthday to Me, and she ate
What did you eat, Sharon? Don't tell them what you ate. Go on.
12 rum bubbers, Mr. Parks.
Come on, say it louder.
12 rum bubbers, Mr. Parks.
12 rum bubbers. Can you imagine that? It turns you over, doesn't it?
Still, we're working on you, aren't we, Sharon? We're slowly melting you down, aren't we?
Yes, Mr. Parks.
Getting her fit, giving her some exercise, working it off her. What were you learning this morning, then? What was I teaching you this morning, Sharon?
Scuba diving, Mr. Parks.
Scuba diving? She enjoyed that, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you should have seen her. Should have seen her in a big black rubber wetsuit flailing about in the water there, first thing. Like a big, shiny, beached, humpbacked whale, weren't you? Look, I'm sorry, this is very, very cruel and unnecessary, and I really don't think you should go on tormenting this girl simply because she's a shade overweight and obviously very self-conscious about it anyway. It is cruel and it is hurtful.
I said mind your own bloody business!
I hope I don't have to remind you again, Douglas, that you are a guest in this house, and the way I choose to treat my staff is entirely my concern. Okay. Piss off, Sharon.
Well, they should be about set up for that interview, I should think. Oh, hello, Trudy.
They were nearly ready, yes.
Well, I've been waiting here, patiently. Plenty of things I could have been getting on with, too.
I wondered if you wanted to take up my offer and stroll down the beach, Douglas, while they're doing their interview.
Oh, lovely, yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you take him down the beach. Good idea.
Oh, dear. You haven't been disagreeing with my husband, have you? I hope not.
No,
You mustn't do that, you know. He only likes people who agree with him all the time. It's one of his little whims.
What are you talking about?
He comes of being surrounded by people who nod at him all day at work. He prefers us all to nod at home, too.
What did I do, eh? What am I meant to have done now?
I can't imagine.
He surrounds himself with these little nodding animals. It's like the back shelf of a car in our house. We all do it.
Bloody rubbish.
Yes, quite right, dear. Nods, nods.
What a load of rubbish, isn't it, Kenny? A load of rubbish?
Oh, yeah.
It's about a mile's walk down there. Do you mind?
No, I'd like a walk.
Take the jeep.
No, we want to walk.
Be quicker in the jeep.
No, we want to walk. It's healthier.
Healthier? What are you talking about? Healthier.
Healthier. Walking.
All right, then, walk if you want to walk. I think everyone around here is just trying to wind me up for some reason.
Vic, Kenny, I'm most dreadfully sorry to have kept you waiting. Believe it or not, we are now finally ready to go when you are.
Hooray. Come on, let's get it over with.
Kenny, you'll want to sit in, of course.
Well, I think I'd better, yes, just in case he says something your lawyers will regret later.
Oh, hardly. Surely not.
Well, he has been known to on occasion.
Well, shall we go?
Ready when you are.
And action.
After 17 long years, the strands were finally being drawn together. Individual threads in a tapestry shaped over the years by the hands of countless separate participants, none of whom perhaps individually was consciously aware of the final picture, which was slowly and inevitably being woven around them. And that picture, no less a portrait than the face of human tragedy. I may need to do that bit again later, George. Sorry. Cut.
I'm afraid we've taken rather longer than we should have done.
No, we've only been a couple of hours. It gets dark much quicker out here. It doesn't sound as if anyone's missed us particularly, does it?
They can't still be filming, surely.
The crew must have gone back to the hotel. Their van's gone anyway. And her hire car, she's gone too, thank God.
Oh, well, my turn tomorrow in the hot seat.
Are you looking forward to it?
Well,
I wouldn't be, I must say.
I think the problem is that, well, what Jill would really like is a bit of conflict. She was saying to me at lunch that a good programme has got to have a bit of conflict. I think Jill would really like me to say a lot of things I don't particularly care to say. That's the trouble.
Like what?
Oh...
No, stay here a minute. Like what? What does she want you to say?
Oh, I don't...
No, you must tell me. I need to know. I mean, I need to know how you feel, how you really feel. You're very good at covering up, but... Do you see why I need to know? You must see. I have to know if you've forgiven us. You understand?
Us?
Yes. I'm a part of Vic. I married him knowing what he'd done to another human being, to another woman. And I had his children knowing that. I took on all of him. What do they say these days? A wife should be responsible for her husband's debts. So, I need to know...
I think, quite honestly, what's past is past, isn't it?
You really don't bear any resentment for what he did to you, to your wife, the woman you were in love with. Didn't it matter? It's like it never mattered to you at all.
Oh, it mattered then. Of course it did, only... Well, it wasn't as straightforward as that. Never is. Well, let me try and explain then. It's difficult. Working with me in this bank alongside me was the most beautiful woman I have ever seen in my life anywhere, before or since. Her name was Neris Mills. She was a stunner. And I was besotted. It's the only word for it. Some days I couldn't look at her at all. My hands would shake, my voice used to crack and go falsetto when I spoke, and I'd feel sick in my stomach. Anyway, needless to say, Neris didn't take a blind bit of notice of me. No, that's not exactly true. She was generally very nice and polite, but, well, so far as romance went, I think I was definitely at the bottom of the reserves as far as she was concerned. She was actually unofficially engaged to this other man. I forget his name now. I never forget names, but I've forgotten his.
Did he work in the bank as well?
Oh, no. He was a salesman. A double-glazing salesman, actually. There's an amusing story to that. I'll come back to that. Anyway, I sat there and longed for her. Day after day, month after month. Fantasised about her a little. Nothing unpleasant, you know.
No.
And some mornings she'd have a chat with me between customers, and then the sun would shine all day, you know.
Yeah.
And other mornings she'd come in like thunder. Something obviously had gone wrong the night before with her and old double glazing. And then, of course, she never got a smile.
Oh.
And as time went by, I marked her off in my own personal ledger in the desirable but unattainable column. And I was just resigning myself to life without her when the bank raid occurred. And that did change everything, there's no doubt about it. I don't know why I did what I did. Your husband was right, it was madness. It just seemed the only thing to do at the time, that's all. There was this stranger in a balaclava threatening the woman that I cared for more than my own life. I couldn't help myself, you see.
No, I see.
Afterwards, I went to see her a lot in hospital. It's partly through guilt, it was only partly. But you see, if I hadn't run at Vic like that, she might never... not that she's ever blamed me. She has never once, ever, never. Anyway, I went to see her as soon as they let us in to visit. I imagine there'd be so many blokes round the bed she'd never even see me anyway. And there were, to start with. I was just there waving my bunch of daffodils at her from the back of the crowd. And then slowly they all drifted away over the weeks. stop coming to see her.
How rotten. Aren't people rotten sometimes?
Yeah, I thought that at first. Then I realised later, of course, she'd been sending them all away. Subconsciously. A beautiful woman like she'd been, she couldn't bear to be seen like that. She couldn't stand it. I mean, she wasn't vain. Not really. But if you're used all your life to people taking pleasure in looking at you, then it must be very hurtful when they suddenly start instinctively looking away from you. You couldn't blame people altogether. She did look a terrible mess for a time.
But you didn't look away from her?
Well, I think I probably did, yes, as I say. It was only natural early on. But you see, if I looked away from her, it didn't matter quite so much. Because she'd never valued my opinion of her anyway. So it never worried her. And there I was, with her all to myself, visiting every day, jollying her up. Over the weeks we got very friendly.
And did she fall in love with you?
I don't know.
But did she never say to you
that? No. And I didn't ask her. It didn't matter. She liked me. And more important, she needed me. That's what mattered. And I loved her. Oh, I was going to tell you, when I left the bank, I applied for my present job with this double glazing company. I thought it might, increase my standing with her, since she seemed to have a liking for double glazing men. It's ridiculous. We laughed about that later. I never regretted it, though. They're a grand bunch. Anyway, she came out of hospital, and we married, quietly, and we got a joint mortgage on number 53. We've lived there ever since, with never a cross word, I'm happy to report. So, what do I say? Yes, I do. I hate Vic because of what he did to the most beautiful woman in the world, or thank you very much, Vic, for being instrumental in arranging for me to marry the unattainable girl of my dreams. It's difficult to know which to say, isn't it? Well, that's my life. Sorry if I bored you. This is very pleasant music, isn't it? It's country and western, am I right?
Yes. Vic likes it. We used to, when we were...
I'm very partial to country and western music. It's... they always manage to come up with a good tune, don't they?
I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do for you then, Vic and I, nothing.
Do?
Well, to help in anyway, money or...
Oh, no.
Sorry, I didn't mean...
No,
it's just so rare to meet someone who doesn't want something from us these days. I suppose that's called being successful. Or is it because it's us who are offering? Is that why you're saying you don't want anything?
No, it's not that. I just don't think there is anything. Thank you very much. Well, I think I must away down the hill to my own hotel. They'll be serving dinner soon.
You're welcome to stop and have supper with us.
No, it's very kind of you, but you'll see quite enough of me again tomorrow, Trudy.
Well, good night, Douglas.
There's one thing I wouldn't have minded, I suppose. Not that you could have given it to me, but since you mentioned wanting things...
What's that? Anything?
No, I was just thinking... I was a hero, I suppose, for all of a year. The people wrote to me, sent for my photograph, asked my advice, listened to what I had to say. I think it would have been nicer to have been a hero for a bit longer.
You still are.
Silly, I probably never missed it. Only...
To people like Nerys you are, and I bet there are others who still
remember. Now, I think I best remember now as the idiot who tackled an armed robber and nearly got someone's head blown off in the process. I think you ended up with a hero, Trudy, not poor old Nerys. You stick with him. You stick with Vic if you're looking for heroes. See you in the morning.
Yes.
Sharon? Sharon? What are you doing there?
Mrs. Parks!
What are you doing, Sharon? Why have you got your wetsuit on?
I'm going to kill myself, Mrs. Parks!
You are going to what?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Parks. I love him so much, and he doesn't care about me at all.
Sharon!
He just says I'm fat, and I've got to get thin, and I've tried to get thin, but I can't get thin whatever I do, because when he says he doesn't love me, I just keep eating, because I'm so unhappy, you see, and then when I eat, I just get fatter, you see, and then he says he doesn't love me, and I love Mr. Park so much, Mrs. Parks. And I'm ever so sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry, Sharon. I know how it is. Believe me, I do.
No, you don't. You can't.
Yes, I do. I promise, Sharon, I do.
No, but it knows.
Sharon, it's a passing thing, I promise. It's something we all go through, most of us. God help us. It'll pass.
No, it won't pass. I've loved Vic for years.
Years? What do you mean, years? You've only been with us 2 months.
No, I've seen him on the telly. I used to watch him on the telly. And I used to write to him. I did. I would write to him on Ask Vic. And he used to write back to me. He did, I promise.
Sharon, he gets thousands of letters a week. He doesn't even read them, let alone write back.
No, he did. He wrote. And it was in his writing. And he used to tell us on the telly if we had problems, how to deal with them and not to worry. And then when I got this job working for him, I just thought, oh, it's going to be so wonderful. And he's just been horrible to me. Then I don't know what I've done, Mrs. Parks. I don't know what I've done wrong.
The only thing you did wrong, Sharon, the one and only thing you ever did wrong was to love him in the first place, because he is not a man to love, Sharon, I promise you. Not if you can possibly avoid it. I speak as one who has tried for 8 years, Sharon, to keep loving him. While that bastard has abused me and ignored me and taken me for granted, while he has been screwing his way round Television Centre, I have looked after his kids and his house and his bloody bad-tempered old mother in Beckenham, and I have tried to keep loving him. I swear to God, I have tried. And if you are honestly clinging on to life in the hope of getting one tiny scrap of care or consideration back from that self-centered, selfish scumbucket, then all I can say is you better jump in there now, Sharon, and cut your losses.
Well, well. You know what they say? You never hear good about yourself, do you?
Tell her, Vic. Talk to the girl, for God's sake.
Tell her what?
I just caught her trying to drown herself.
What?
Vic, talk to her.
What do you want to drown yourself for, Sharon?
Why do you think?
I have no idea. I have no idea why this great big girl should want to drown herself.
Vic!
Why? Just tell me.
Because of what you've said to her, done to her.
What?
Whatever you said, whatever you did, I don't know. I don't want to know.
I've never laid a finger on her, have I? Sharon, tell her I've never laid a finger on you, have I? Eh?
No, Mr. Park.
There you are. No, she confirms that.
You know bloody well what you've done to her, Vic. Now do something about it.
Right, that's it. Forget it. I'm not being shouted at. Let her jump. Let the stupid cow drown herself. What do I care? Go on, jump, jump, jump then.
bloody hell!
Vic, get her out! Dive in and get her out, for God's sake!
I'm not diving in there, not in these clothes.
Vic, the girl is drowning!
She's not drowning. She can stay under for hours. She's built like a bathyscope.
Are you going in to get her or not?
Are you diving?
I can't get her out. She's far too big for me. She's enormous, Vic.
Or we could sprinkle rum bar bars on the surface. That'll bring her up.
Oh, dear God! Douglas! Douglas! He's gone!
Sharon! I can see you down there, Sharon.
Kenny! Kenny, come out here, please!
Now, Kenny went down to the shop. We were running out of vino.
If she dies, Vic, if that girl dies...
Nobody would miss her except the National Union of Bakers.
Oh, you! God, I hate you! I'm really so hate you!
Hey, hey, hey!
I'd love to hurt you like you hurt other people!
Oh, all right now, Trudy, that's enough. You've had your fun. Gotcha!
What's the problem?
Please!
Now, it's all right. Don't get excited and nobody will get hurt, all right? Jesus, what the...
Douglas, are you all right?
Yes, I'm sorry. Where's Vic?
He's in the pool.
Right. There is about to be some serious damage done, I can tell you. To you, and to you, all right. As soon as I...
Oh, my goodness, what is it, a whale?
No, it's Sharon. She's pulled him in. Sharon! Sharon! Vic!
Sharon!
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 Are you all right?
Yes. Thank you, Mrs. Parks.
Easy. Easy now.
Sharon, where is Mr. Parks?
I'm standing on him, Mrs. Parks.
Sharon, for goodness
sake! For God's sake, get off him!
I'm very sorry, Mrs. Parks.
All right, Sharon, all right. Out you come now. Help me pull. Vic out.
Right.
Okay. There. Turn him over.
Yeah.
We must get the water out of him.
Right.
Can I give him the kiss of life, Mrs. Parks?
No, you can't, Sharon. Stay there, please. I don't know what you do. I think you have to pump his ribs somehow.
I'm afraid I don't really have much of an idea. Me and Walter, you know.
Here, let me.
No, Sharon, I'd rather you went away.
No, it's really all right, Mrs. Parks. I've got my Lifesavers medal.
You have?
Yeah, in the Huddersfield Baths. Here, let me.
Anything?
No, I don't think he's responding.
Oh, God.
No, hang on. Roll him over.
Right.
All right, here we go.
No?
No, I'm sorry, Mrs. Parks. I'll never say sorry.
I don't know what we're going to do. What are we going to do?
I suppose we'll have to report it to the police, won't we?
If we report it, we'll have to tell them everything. We'll have to tell them it was Sharon. We can't have Sharon blamed for this.
I didn't mean to, Mrs. Parks.
It's all right, Sharon. It's all right. Okay. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're all going to have to tell the same story, all right? Douglas?
Yes?
Sharon, are you listening to me?
Yes, Miss Parks.
We're going to have to say this. Vic was very drunk, that's true anyway. And he came out here on his own and must have decided to take a swim. And Sharon, You were upstairs and you heard the splash and you rushed downstairs and called for help. Only Kenny wasn't in.
What about the couple? You know, the Spanish couple. Do they live in?
Yes, but they'll be watching television. They'd never have heard. And then you came out here, Sharon, you see.
Yeah.
And you found Mr. Parks floating, unconscious, in the water.
In all his clothes?
Yes, good point. We'd better take...